I wanted to speak with us today a little bit about telling stories. I think that we all, this thing isn't on, now it is, we all enjoy a good story. I remember growing up, I would go to a gentleman's house over on Thrasher Road in Escutney on the night before the opening day of deer season. And man, would we hear some stories. I think most of them were moderately embellished. But they made for some good laughs and great time. And we all love a good story. Some people make their living by telling stories. Some politicians make their living by telling stories. Tall stories, that's right, yes. Yep. Anybody who's had a chance to raise children or teach kids know that sometimes they tell some stories. I often will tell parents, you believe about half of what your kid says about me, and I'll believe about half of what your kid says about you. And we'll have a good balance, probably. Okay? So, but Paul here in his letter to the Galatians is telling his story. He's laying it out for us. He's saying, this is my story. This is who I was, and this is what Jesus Christ has done in my life, and this is what I'm like now. And it's quite an amazing account. Paul is somebody that went from persecuting Christians to being one of the most zealous of them, one of the most enthusiastic Christians out there. And here in Galatians, you can break down his account of his coming to faith in Jesus Christ into three parts, of what his life was like before Christ, how Jesus Christ met him and how he met Christ, and what his life is like now that he has known Christ and is following him. So if you want to turn there and look at it, that's fine. If not, I'm going to go through the scripture with you a little bit. He says, for you have heard of my former manner of life in Judaism, how I used to persecute the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. He was after people. He wanted them dead. He wanted them to not have any influence anymore. And he was advancing in Judaism and keeping all of the laws and trying to do everything right and whatnot. And he saw the Christians as being in competition and saw them as doing something wrong, and so he went after them with every fiber of his being. And I don't know how many of you might remember the famous Damascus Road conversion story, where he sees a blinding light, and Christ comes to him and says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he has this experience with Christ, where Christ is revealed to him. And he has this aha moment of, oh boy, this is the living God that I've been after with my persecutions. And then after that, he changes what he's doing and becomes zealous in proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. He talks about how he once was this way, then Christ was revealed to him, and now he's this way. So he was living life a certain way, and then he had an encounter with Jesus Christ. And that changed him. And because it changed him, now he lives his life in a different way. The same thing could be said for our gospel reading this morning. Okay, somebody was dead. That was his life before Christ. He was dead. Not unlike my life before Christ, being dead in my sin. And then Jesus comes. And is raised from the dead. And then the reaction of all the people is that they were seized with fear. Now that's not terror, like when I'm walking into my turkey stand and the coyotes howl 30 yards to my left and I can't see anything because it's dark. It's a different kind of fear. It's the kind of holy fear, of awe, of reverence, of seeing that the kingdom of God has come here. Wow. Look at what God has done. That kind of fear, good kind of fear. And then their response is to go and to proclaim and to say, look at what God has done. This man was dead, Jesus got involved. He's alive. And look and see what has happened. I don't have a Damascus Road conversion story. Okay? I was not heading down the road to persecute Christians and was struck by a blinding light and heard the voice of Jesus. That didn't happen to me. But what that signifies in Paul's life is an encounter with Jesus Christ. You know, some people like to say, well, you know, my story of coming to faith is boring. Nothing awesome happened. You know, I wasn't a drug addict living under a bridge that found Jesus, and now I own a mansion in Beverly Hills. You know, it's people like to say, well, my story isn't very exciting, so it doesn't have any power. It's not like Paul's story. But that's not true, because if your life has been impacted and changed by Jesus, then your story has every bit as much of power as Paul's story does when he met the risen Christ. If you have met the risen Christ, it's no different than Paul meeting the risen Christ. He just happened to need a blinding light. And maybe the Lord could be a little more subtle with you. I don't know. So I want to share with you my story, a little bit, my testimony of coming to faith. And I invite you to be thinking about yours a little bit as I'm sharing mine. So I was essentially raised in a Christian home, okay? And my dad and I were baptized together on the same Sunday. He came to faith a little later in life. And he was an engineer, so he had to struggle with it and wrestle with it. And, you know, having designed helicopters, he didn't want to take it on faith that the rotors were going to turn. He wanted to know that they were going to turn. And so to have faith in the Lord took some doing for him. I can't tell you a whole lot about what my life was like before asking Jesus to be my Savior and Lord, because I did it when I was 3. But I can tell you, I distinctly remember kneeling down in a particular room in my house in Milford, Connecticut. I remember the carpet was red, and there was a picnic table nearby there. So, see, right? Yeah. Memories from 3 years old. And I remember asking Jesus to come into my heart, to forgive me of my sin, and to help me to walk with him. There was nobody there but me, and I don't know what prompted it. Maybe there was a sermon at church or something in Sunday school. I don't remember. Maybe my folks said something to me, but that happened. And, you know, then I began my growing up years. We moved to Vermont, and I distinctly remember when I was 12 coming to a point where I needed to make a decision if I was going to really allow Jesus to be Lord of my life. You know, there's always this battle inside me of, am I going to follow the Lord, or am I going to follow what this other little part of me wants to do? And I needed to make the decision to allow Jesus to be the Lord of my life. And it was at that point that I did that. You know, they say God doesn't have grandchildren. If you could be holy by going to church meetings, I was the holiest. Okay, we went to more church meetings when I was a kid growing up. I remember being out several nights during the week, going to this and to that and the other thing, and having lots of Bible study and lots of teaching and whatnot. But there came a point where I had to decide once again, okay, I prayed to receive Jesus when I was 3. I'm now coming into an age where I need to make some decisions. And I remember doing that when I was right around 12. Fast forward a few years to heading off to college and whatnot. I went to Houghton College in Western New York, which is a Christian liberal arts college. And just because it's a Christian college doesn't mean it's loaded with Christians, okay? You can still have plenty of opportunity to run amok. You know, to a certain degree, I did. I was living a double life in a lot of ways. There was a part of me that was extremely sincere about my faith and part of me that was looking to follow Jesus. But there was a part of me that really wanted to have fun. And I didn't see Jesus as having fun with that part of my life. I was walking down two roads, essentially. And the road was beginning to diverge. You know, if you can imagine, you really can't walk two paths for very long as the roads are going farther and farther and farther apart. And so at some point, once again, I had to make a decision what I was going to do. And I decided that I was going to leave some things behind and follow the Lord. And you know, in terms of what my life is like now that I've been following Jesus, it's still a daily decision to put the cross before us and the world behind us, at least in my life. I still have the opportunity every day to make choices against the Lord and to sin, or to make choices to walk with Christ and to go his way. And the difference to me is that when I choose to follow Christ, he gives me the power to be able to do it. It's not an impossible thing. He gives me power over sin in my life. I don't have to bow to it. It doesn't subject me to itself. I can choose to subject myself to it. But because Christ is in me, I have that power to be able to resist sin, submit to God, take the thoughts captive, and they go. And so I have the opportunity to follow Christ with joy in my life. Life is not perfect. Scripture tells us the rain falls on the just and the unjust. Life still happens to me. Anybody that tells you when you become a Christian all your problems goes away, they're smoking something else, okay? They're drinking the different kind of Kool-Aid. It doesn't work that way. The difference is that when you have Christ in your life, walks with you through things and empowers you to overcome them. You're not walking through them alone. One of the things that's made the greatest difference to me in my life following Christ is that the Lord came that we would have life and have it to the fullest, and Satan came to kill, steal, and destroy. And without the Lord in my life, there would be a lot of killing and stealing and destroying in my life. Destroying of relationships, destroying of health, destroying of finances. But with the Lord in my life, the opposite is true. So my testimony, in a nutshell, is I have a very small period of time of what my life was like before Christ. How I came to know Christ, I shared with you a little bit. And what my life has been like since following Jesus Christ, I've shared with you a little bit about that. So what do you do if you're in an elevator with people? And you're going from, you know, the first floor up to about maybe the 20th. Maybe you're, you know, in downtown Red River Junction in the high rise. And you know you've got about 30 seconds with people, and someone says, "Oh, you're a Christian. What difference does that make in your life?" Can you say something in 30 seconds about what difference it has made in your life? You know, what if your car breaks down somewhere, and someone comes to help you, and you get talking with them, and you have about 3 minutes with them? Can you share something in about 3 minutes with them if they ask you, if it comes up? These are good things to think about. Can you tell your story? Paul told his story in about 2 or 3 minutes, right? In these scriptures. So telling our stories is something that folks struggle with sometimes, and sometimes I still do to a degree. People often feel like faith is a very private thing, and to a certain degree, I understand that. Now, there are some areas of our testimony that we might not want to share because it's so deep and so personal in the way that God has worked in us that we don't feel like wearing it on a t-shirt and walking down Route 44 with it on. But at the same time, if we're here on Sunday morning, if we're following Christ, there's got to be a reason for that, and there's got to be a way that we can share that with others around us. So I'd like to do something that's a little bit out of the ordinary this morning, okay? And I've swept all the large stones out of the parking lot, so after church, you can't stone me. What I'd like to do is just take 2 or 3 minutes, and I want to invite you to share something with someone sitting next to you. Now, it can be as What I'm really hoping you'll be able to share is very briefly how you came to Christ and what difference has it made in your life. If that is challenging for you or makes you squirm in your seat, and I understand that, okay, maybe there's something you can share with somebody about what difference the Lord has made in your life, or a blessing, a way that God has blessed you in your life, something that you're thankful to the Lord for as well. Does that make any sense? Yeah? Okay. All right. Let's just take until the big hand is on the 10, okay? And let's take an opportunity to do that. Thanks.
If you already know the person's story next to you, feel free to move around.
Hey, good morning.